Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, once again we have the opportunity to be serving the Ummah, inshallah, as far as your motor vehicles are concerned. Jazakumullahu khairan for all those who have tuned in already and all those who haven't, you know, we don't know if they haven't tuned in, obviously, but definitely, you know, tell your friends about it because, alhamdulillah, this has been very, very interesting. Our program has been growing beautifully. So, inshallah, whatever car problems you have, whatever maintenance, whatever hassles you have, whatever you need checked out, if there's something you have unanswered, alhamdulillah, I can say from this side of the seat today in the hot seat, Brother Adil is here, the expert, inshallah, he will be assisting us through our program and whatever problems we have, inshallah. Brother Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Hafiz Abdullah, and to all the listeners out there, inshallah we can try our best to try and assist you. I know the silly season has started already, mashallah, all, most of the listeners getting ready to leave for the holidays. Most of the children have finished off school and mashallah will be getting the results soon also. Inshallah they're all done well. They're moving to the next standards and to the next level of the education. Inshallah Allah make easy for everybody and those going on holiday we can discuss a few items, what to do, what not to do, inshallah, during the program.
Jazakallah, Brother Adil, for that. Alhamdulillah, as Brother Adil has said, inshallah, we will, I can't say talk for everybody, but most people will be leaving for holidays, inshallah, and we have mentioned it much earlier as well. I hope all your guys' cars are sorted out and organized and everything else. The other thing that I just thought of earlier on today while myself and Adil were coming here is I noticed there was some rain. Alhamdulillah, shukr, alhamdulillah, we have some rain, but also we need to make sure that our wiper blades and everything else is in order, inshallah, so when we take those trips, wherever we're going to, inshallah, we shouldn't have any hassles. So, yeah, the number to call is 011-854-1548. The landline is 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 083-287-0886. That's 083-287-0886. No matter what your problem is, whatever you need to know about the car, whatever the hassles you have, Brother Ali is here, inshallah. So Brother Ali will be finding up, inshallah, with the answers, inshallah. Adil, alhamdulillah, I noticed that we have some sort of SMS come through already. Very, very interesting question, Brother Adil. I don't know if we've had this question before on air, but it says there's a brother who needs to know an explanation of variable valve timing. What can you tell us about variable valve timing, Brother Adil?
Ji, Hafiz Abdullah, once upon a time, most engines came with two valves, you know, the normal engine that were launched in the beginning of car history. One for the inlet. One was the inlet valve, one was the exhaust valve. So basically the inlet valve letting all the inlet air into the engine, the fuel and the air, and the exhaust valve letting all the burn gases from the engine. And then later on you got the famous V8 Hemi engines that came with bigger valves. They had massive valves. They had done the same thing. The problem with the big valves was they were insufficient at low engine speeds, leading to both gas mileage and pollution problems. So you know what, now look with the new modern day engines, you know, we don't need that in the country and around the world.
Gee.
So alhamdulillah, then after that they came along with the four cylinder, what you call it, the multi valve engines, you know, the 16 valve engine.
Yeah, you know what the youngsters back in the day talk about, the 16 valve
engine. Yeah, so that basically had four valves, two per inlet and two per exhaust. And it was controlled, you know, so that basically one valve will open at lower speed and two valves will open at higher speed. And then you came in with a variable timing, that means that the valves are set, like I explained to you, at some at lower speed and at higher speed, all of them will open.
Gee.
And they will control electronically. Mm-hmm. So this is a basic explanation how the variable timing worked. And it was proved to be very economical. That's why most motor manufacturers still go that way. And also less noisier the engine was because of the variable timing. And alhamdulillah, even the fuel consumption also improved on those engines. So that's basically a small explanation on variable timing, what I can remember.
Yeah, the abbreviation, alhamdulillah, is, I think most people have seen it, especially firstly on the Toyotas, it's called the VVTI. VVTI, variable valve timing, obviously with the injection in it. And yeah, that is Brother Adil. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah for that answer, Brother Adil. I see there's a brother got a SMS here. Alhamdulillah, I say, assalamu alaikum. You have a wonderful program. Jazakumullah khairan, brother, for the comment there. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we will try and do our best. It says, I have a Mercedes-Benz 124 series, the 230E. Alhamdulillah, he knows what series he's driving. Shukr alhamdulillah. Very few you get that people really know what series they do drive. They just know it's a Mercedes, the 230 or whatever it is. But alhamdulillah, his brother knows it's the 230E 124 series. And he's been to his mechanic and he says, my mechanic says, my engine has a burnt valve. He wants to know, what does it mean, a burnt valve?
Gee, Hafiz Abdullah, the burnt valve, not a good sign for an engine.
Gee.
Because a lot of workers will be taken out to do the burnt valve job. Basically, the burnt valve is either you add the wrong spark plugs fitted to your vehicle, or the vehicle adjustment on the olden day vehicles back in the day, especially on the Mercedes-Benz 124, 230E series, you had to adjust the air fuel mixture and adjust the timing. So basically, if you use the incorrect spark plugs, or the timing was incorrectly adjusted, or the CO mixture was incorrectly adjusted, the car will either run too lean or too rich. So basically, that can cause a valve to burn. And that's most likely that's what happened to the brother's car, causing the valve to burn. A burn valve will make the engine not idle smoothly. You'll hear the sputtering and shaking of the engine and sputtering through the exhaust pipes, like the exhaust is busy backfiring. Basically, to solve your problem is the cylinder will have to be removed, and the burnt valves will have to be replaced, and the cylinder head maybe be skimmed again, new valve guides fitted while you are there, and then the engine can be inspected at the same time, and then the necessary steps can be taken to rectify the problem. It will be a bit of a costly affair, not as much as the new modern day engine, but on those engines I think about 3,000-4,000, then you can get away with the job.
Gee, brother Adil, the burnt valve, from what I can recall also, is a bit of a costly affair, and unfortunately, you're gonna have to spend some money on that particular thing. But like as brother Adil mentioned as well, is, you know, while you are there, check everything out, make sure everything is sorted out properly. Shortcut, what we always talk about, shortcut, goedkoop is duurkoop, and you will end up spending unnecessary money there. So, I see my engineer is telling me there's a caller on line one. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for calling him, brother.
Nah, lovely, man.
How can we assist you?
Tell me, I have got a Toyota Tis.
Gee.
2006, 1.3.
Gee.
And I'd like to know, how often do you have to change the timing bell? That's the first one.
Gee.
And the front wheel bearings are starting to make a noise.
Gee.
So is there a problem, or will it seize up, or can I still continue?
Are you?
Alright, can I hear over the...
Gee, no problem. Jazakallah for that.
Okay.
Gee.
Assalamu alaikum.
Are you, did you get the question there?
Gee, I got the question.
Two questions.
Yeah, two questions. The first question is that when should the timing bell be changed? I think on the Toyota Tez, the 1.3... 2E engine, that's what they call
that's
it.
That's correct.
A lovely little motor car, very economical car to maintain also. The timing bell should be changed every 100,000 kilometers. That is according to Toyota motor manufacturer. The other scenario that brother complained about, the front wheel bearings, first of all, you should make sure it is the front wheel bearings. Normally, tires can also make a wheel bearing sound, and it can also cause you and fool you to be the wheel bearings. If it is the wheel bearing before it goes on his next long trip, it should be changed, because there can be disastrous occurrences if the wheel bearings are not changed. The wheel can actually come off the car if the wheel bearing is not changed. So that should be done as soon as possible. If it is the wheel bearing, the brother going on his next long term. But down and around here, it should last you a while. Yeah.
JazakAllah for the brother. I see my engineer is indicating we have another caller there. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Gee, sister, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
How can we be of assistance to you today?
I've got the Ford Meteor.
Gee.
A Mazda.
Mazda. Alright.
Sorry, a Mazda.
Gee.
And the thing is, I've been taking it to mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over, I don't know how much I spent on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a jerking on the car, right?
Gee.
My car jerks and then she stops.
Okay.
And then they said it's a sensor.
The sensor?
Yeah.
What's your model?
What Mazda is it?
One second. Etude.
Etude, okay.
Gee, those things do have sensors on them, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you had the sensor replaced, upper?
Gee.
Okay, and you still have the same problem?
Yeah, it cost me $1,200 for that small...
For the sensor, yes. Yeah. The sensors are very expensive.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
Okay, brother Adil, you want to help Appa out there?
Gee, Appa, tell me, is there a little yellow engine malfunction light on your vehicle?
No.
There's no, okay, the mechanic who done your, the problem, did he do a diagnostic test for a diagnostic focal reader?
Look, I took it to somebody and they did the whole, you know, they put all those gadgets on the car, on the engine, and according to them, they picked up nothing.
Okay, you see the problem you have with the car, the jerking effect and the car wants to switch off, is a bit of a tricky problem to solve because if the problem is not there all the time.
No, it's, you know, can I explain to you, right? When I'm driving it in the first gear, when as soon as I start and I take off on in first gear, already the jerking starts.
Okay, so the jerk is there all the time. Okay, so the jerk is there all the time. Very simple to fix. Not a problem. What they should be, what they should actually do is the technician working on the car should either figure out what. There's two things that could cause the jerk on the car. Is the spark. That means it's the electronic side of the ignition, the spark, and the fuel. So if you're not getting the correct amount of spark going to the engine, can cause a jerk. So the, basically, the culprits for spark is the spark plugs, the plug wires, the coils. That's what they should check. The next thing to check the fuel. The fuel, the main culprits for fuel is the fuel injector, the fuel pump, the fuel filter. So those two things should be checked. The last culprit is the air. There should be a correct amount of air going into the system. So basically, they should check the inlet manifold, not sucking air on the inlet manifold, and there's an airflow meter that regulates the amount of air going into the engine. So that should be checked. So those are the three main couples I mentioned to you. So those three things should be checked thoroughly. And I definitely think your problem will be solved. If those things are checked properly.
Okay.
So it's the spark, the air, and the fuel.
The spark, so when, the air, and the fuel.
Yeah, when you take it to your mechanic, tell him that you heard over the radio, that the mechanic over the radio said, firstly check the spark, air, and fuel. You see, to go to change sensors and all, it's all in place. But that's the more costly things to check. Check the basic things first. If all those things are in order, then you can slowly check all the rest of the sensors.
Jazakallah.
You're welcome, Nami. Appa.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
Assalam.
I see we are really hounded with calls. Your brother Adil, I see on line 3. Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, shukr, brother.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Jazakallah for the lovely program.
Ameen, ameen. Make dua.
I've got a nothing to you. 2003 model, R43, 2 liter.
2003.
2003, and it's an X-Trail. Yeah, the mileage on here is 132,000. The car feels a bit sluggish, you know, like between gears and high speed.
Petrol or diesel?
Yeah, it's starting to pick up like speed.
That's a 2 liter petrol, eh?
Sorry?
That's a 2 liter petrol.
2 liter petrol.
Yeah.
So, can you tell me what the possible options of what should I look at, or my mechanic should look at? Mm-hmm. That's first question.
Yeah.
And then the second question is, could you tell me where is your guys' workshop located, etc.?
See, as far as the workshop is concerned, you'll have to speak to our reception, inshallah, and they will try and assist you as far as our workshops, where they are located.
Okay, can you give me the answer on radio?
Okay, there's one question I'll ask you, brother, before you go off. The no power, you say the car is sluggish.
Yeah, it moves well, but I just feel it's a bit sluggish.
You feel it's a bit sluggish since when? Have you got the vehicle from new?
No. I got it for about 8 months. I've driving about 10,000 Ks now already.
Okay. So you didn't do anything extraordinary to the vehicle? You didn't send it for the servers and received it back from the servers and found the vehicle sluggish?
No. When I got the car was just serviced.
So when you got the car, you felt the car was fine, but only recently you felt the car was going a bit sluggish?
A bit sluggish, that's correct.
And you didn't change anything on the car?
No, nothing.
No tires, no exhaust, you didn't change the fuel, you're using the same fuel all the time?
No.
Okay, and you feel the reason why you're saying the car is sluggish, give me an example. You feel it's lacking, it's sluggish at high speed or low speed or taking off?
But taking off, I can't see the big jerkers, but taking off and at high speed as well, like it's from 120 upwards, it struggles a bit.
And you say the kilometer is 130 something?
Yeah.
Okay, and when last was the car serviced?
At 126,000.
126,000. And now you have, what's the kilometers now?
132,000.
132. Okay. Yeah,
let's see how we can help you, brother. I think myself and Ari will have a bit of a debate and a discussion on this particular matter, inshallah.
Okay.
All right. Brother Adil, Jazakallah for the call, brother. Just thinking about it, you know, a lot of times I've picked this up and I've noticed this as far as services are concerned, you know. I'm not putting any stress on any particular individual or anything. I'm just talking in general where we have a problem. Is, you know, a guy says, I'm going to buy the car, and the owner, the ex-owner of the car says, I'm going to have it serviced for you. And Brother Adil, I noticed 9 out of 10 times, unfortunately, what happens is the oil gets changed, the filter gets changed. As far as the spark plugs are concerned, the air filters are concerned, everything else, many a times I have found, unfortunately, it hasn't been replaced. As far as that particular vehicle is concerned, my personal feeling comes down to spark plugs, because I've had quite a bit of experience, alhamdulillah, as far as those vehicles are concerned. And I found that, spark plugs are a culprit. Make sure the right spark plugs are there. The other thing is take it into your mechanic or your technician, whoever he is, and let him remove the spark plugs physically and have a look at the electrode on the spark plug itself, and you will actually see how they are burning. Are they burning nicely or not? If not, then I would suggest replace the spark plugs and have a look at it from there. Brother Adil, I don't know if you've got anything else to add on to that, but
I think the car being sluggish and not a massive loss of power could be related that the car wasn't serviced initially the first time, like Hafiz Abdul Akri mentioned. So basically, you know, when you take in a car for a service, is what is a service? Like you mentioned,
it's
a very big question. A service can be you just change oil and filter, and in some people's mind that's a service.
Yeah.
But a service actually is repairing or servicing a vehicle according to the motor manufacturer, is what should be done at certain kilometers on certain vehicles. Today, a spark plug is not replaced every service. A spark plug, you have the platinum spark plugs, is changed every 90,000 kilometers. The fuel filter is changed every 150,000 kilometers or 4 years.
That's correct.
So basically, when the car's coming for service, are those things being checked? Are those things being changed? Like at the brother's Nissan X-Trail at 132,000 kilometers, was the fuel filter changed at 120,000? That's what you have to ask the question.
You see, the other thing, Adam, that comes to mind is, why was the service done at such an odd interval at 126,000, you know? Because obviously they either go in 15s, 10s or 15,000 kilometer intervals.
So my suggestion to the brother with the X-Trail is, if he feels comfortable continuing, I think the next service is 135.
Yeah, that should be 135.
The next service should be 135, so you can take it for a thorough service, 135, maybe do the whole full house thing, change everything, the plugs, the air filter, oil filter and fuel filter, then you know your car is done properly, and then see the performance on the car. I guarantee that if there's nothing mechanically or electrically on the car after that service, the car's going to go very well.
Yeah, but just for peace of mind, if the brother, if you want to, what you can do is go to your technician, let him quickly whip out those spark plugs, because I know a lot of these vehicles nowadays, the spark plugs are very, very difficult to get to. So a lot of times they are looked past, they are skipped over, you know, guys just go by and they don't care about it as long as the vehicle is running. So, you know, there is a possibility that that probably wasn't changed or something like that. Please check it out for your own sort of peace of mind. Brother Adil, I see there's another call coming in. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for calling. How can we do you in today, brother?
I'd like to know which fuel is better, 95 or 93.
What vehicle do you drive, brother?
I have a Audi A4 and I have a Mazda 323.
Gee, right. Brother Adil has got an Audi A4. Which one is that? The
1.8 turbo.
1.8 turbo. And then obviously the other vehicle is the smaller vehicle, the Mazda.
Yeah.
Brother Adil, what would you suggest?
To me personally, I never really felt a difference on the 93 or 95 petrol, but I know on the bigger engines the 95 petrol is recommended. It is a bit more, it does cost a bit more, so there are extra additives put into the 95 fuel. The 95 fuel on paper should be a better fuel because of the price, but personally I never felt a difference, because I don't drive a V8 or a bigger engine. My cars are all on four cylinders and the other one is a diesel. So basically, I think the brother should do a test himself. Put the 95 in the Audi.
That's good.
And put the 93 in the Mazda. And then fill both the tanks up and see yourself the performances on both cars. And the next time, swap it around. Put the 95 in the Mazda and put the 93 in the Audi and see the difference. And then you can call us back and tell us. I'd like to know.
Okay, no,
it'll
problem.
Be rather interesting, brother, to hear from you after you've done that.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah, brother. Jazakallah for the call. Much appreciated. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. See, Brother Ariel, yeah, you see, alhamdulillah, I see, as you know, a lot of calls and questions, and as far as the fuels are concerned, people are saying this regularly, you know, buy a fuel, this fuel, that fuel. The other thing that comes to mind at this point in time, Ariel, is, you know, a lot of times people just pull up at the filling station, and they're putting in petrol or diesel into the vehicle, and unfortunately, you know, I don't, you know, I don't say that we can't blame the guys at the pump jockey, but we as an individual, you who are driving your vehicle, you should know whether you're driving a diesel or a petrol vehicle, and try and make sure you do stop at one of the correct pumps and ask or say something before the guy actually starts putting in fuel into your vehicle. That will save everybody a hassle, and the filling station owners as well, the pump jockey himself, and yourself as well, the inconvenience of now getting everything drained out and sorted out. So when you do go on holiday, very, very importantly, make sure that when you do stop at the filling station, you know, you ask and request clearly, I need X amount of diesel, or I need X amount of 95, or X amount of 93. So you will get the right stuff, because the last thing you want to do is on holiday at a filling station somewhere, you are stuck and obviously frustration set in and everything else. So it is very, very important that you make sure that the fuel is correct in your vehicle. Brother, are there any advice as far as if perchance they have put in diesel in a petrol engine or petrol into a diesel engine, what sort of recommendations do you have?
That's why it's important when you go into the filling station and you're filling up, especially that the mistake is mostly made on diesel engines, because people are so used to filling in fuel when they come to the petrol station and they park at the Bowser, and now with all the fuel, different fuels at one Bowser, you get the diesel, the petrol and all at one Bowser. Most of the time the mistake is made where they put fuel into the diesel. So basically that mistake is made and you didn't notice it. That's why it's important when the Bowser guy is filling up the fuel, always have a look at what fuel is filling in. If you come to realize that, hey, he has filled in diesel into your petrol already, or diesel into the petrol, don't start the engine. Immediately notify him that he has done this mistake, and immediately bring it out. Then there will be no filters to be changed and anything else. But if the mistake has been done, if you changed it, you started the car and the car has been running and then cut out, then it's a more costly thing, because everything has to be drained out, the fuel filter has to be changed. Sometimes it even damages the injectors. So basically, make sure that when you're filling up, you notice what the Bowser boy is filling into your thing.
Jazakallah for brother Adil. I see we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, Appa?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for calling, Appa. How can we help you?
I'd like to know a 2005 model, a Passat. What was the value of the car?
VW Passat 2005. Is that a petrol or a diesel, Appa?
I think it's petrol.
You think it's petrol?
I think the value for those cars should be around 60,000 to 80,000 then.
Obviously, depending on the condition
and if it's manual or automatic, and the kilometers as well.
Do you intend buying one, Appa?
Jazakallah so much.
I mean, you're welcome. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah, brother Adil, for that, because as far as prices of vehicles are concerned, I don't think I have much of an idea. But Jazakallah, you bailed us out there, alhamdulillah. And we were talking about the different fuels and make sure that the fuel is the correct fuel is being put into the car as well. And then the other thing, brother Adil, is very, very important. I always mention to everybody, and I think you will back me up on this particular point, is when you get to a filling station, you know, the guy just wants to open the radiator and check the water. Personally, I think it's actually a futile, or it could be even a hazardous exercise to do something like it, because alhamdulillah with today's vehicles you have mostly sensors and everything else, you have gauges, everything else. So Adil, what your suggestion would be if somebody wants to check their water out while on a journey?
See, the most safest way to go on a journey and to check all your pre-checks on your motor vehicle is check it when it's cold. So basically, you're going to check your tire pressure when it's cold, you're going to check your oil level when the vehicle is cold, and you're going to check your water level when the vehicle is cold. So basically, all those things should be checked when the car is cold. And behind the fuel flap, you have the tire pressure settings. Basically, most of them are when the vehicle is cold. And then the important other things that I'd like to add, I know a lot of people were believing on the year-end brakes and going some long distance, some short distance. There's a few items that you should... It's advisable to carry them in your car. You know, it's always can come in handy. We went fishing last week, and then my cousin, he left the ignition on in the vehicle, and then we needed to go and buy some more bait, jumped into the car and say, boom, the battery is flat. And no jumper cables, nothing. So we had to walk to every fisherman and ask him, do you have jumper cables? So I say a simple thing like that, you could be on holiday, and by mistake, you know, the children are listening to the radio in the vehicle while you may be somewhere, and you come back, boom, the battery is flat, and there you're looking for jumper cables. So the most important thing is, try and keep a set of jumper cables in your car. The other nifty thing you can keep in your car. They have this new portable booster packs, you know, the mini jump starters, as they call them. Very handy. But on a, not too expensive, maybe 600 to 800 rand, but a very nifty device you can keep in your car. It folds up into a small bag, you keep it on the side of your car, and if you have a battery problem, boom, you can start your car, you can charge your mobile phone, you can charge your laptop. Okay, we'll continue. I think we got a call
online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for calling in. How can we help you today, brother?
I've got a Honda Jazz 2005 model.
Gee.
It's an automatic.
Gee.
And the minute I pull off, it vibrates.
Sorry?
When I pull off, it vibrates.
It vibrates. Yeah, that's a shada.
Only on pull off.
Only on pull off.
Yes.
What's the kilometers on your car, brother?
About 125,000.
Can I put the phone down and
listen on air? Are there any more questions? Just one more question.
Is automatic or
manual? Automatic. When last was the transmission oil change, or automatic transmission oil change on your vehicle?
I don't know,
I think your number one thing is change the automatic transmission, your problem is solved.
Yes.
Okay, brother, you can listen on air. Inshallah, we'll try and discuss that on air. Jazakallah.
The main culprit on the Honda Jazz when pulling away and having the shudder is the automatic transmission fluid. A lot of people slip up and don't change that fluid on the regular service. And that's what we talked about earlier, how to service the vehicle. Very important on Honda Jazz that the automatic transmission oil should be changed at least every 60,000 kilometers. The other thing that can cause a shudder very rarely on the Honda Jazz is the engine mountings. When you're pulling away, can cause a shudder. But I think the number one cause on a brother's vehicle is that transmission oil should be changed. And after he changes the oil, I think that shudder is going to go away.
Jazakallah for that, brother Adil. Just to finish our discussion very quickly, brother Adil, as far as you said the safety items in the vehicle are concerned.
Gee, the other thing is that the necessary thing to have is try and take a portable first aid kit. Most of the vehicles, they come standard. I know Mercedes, Benz, BMW, they come standard with a portable first aid kit. That also can be very handy if one of the kids gets cut, or there it can be where you need to help someone on the side of the road, Allah forbid. The handy thing to have in a car is a small little portable toolkit, maybe a couple of screwdrivers, maybe a Swiss Army knife. That can also be a great help.
And a roll of insulation tape is very, very good there.
All it will come in a kit for you. And then also a GPS system. I know a lot of mobile phones have the GPS system. Also a very handy thing to have if your car doesn't have one. The other thing is a USB device. I spoke about a mini jump starter that they come with a charging device for your USBs and your mobile phones. The other handy thing to have is a quick tire repair kit that can become very handy. You have this little spray cans that can inflate your tire. Also a small tube set can do it. And then also I think it also can become handy is having a little change in your car, in your ashtray, maybe some sweets or biscuits. Normally you come to the robots and you have all these beggars hounding the cars. Also a good advice, maybe you can give them a couple of those, biscuits or sweets or whatever it is, that also can be handy. The other thing is also that you can do it, a pair of sunshades. Always handy to keep them in a car with the heat now. And if you don't get a shade, you place it above your car, pop out the sunshade and put it over your windscreen, and boom, can keep your car cool.
Jazakallah, brother Adil, but I'd just like to add another two items on your list. Is one is make sure your vehicle has that triangle in the boot.
Especially if you take it into Mozambique.
Especially if you live in the country, you will have a problem with that. But inshallah, Allah forbid any of us get stuck and we might need the triangle, it's very, very important that you are visible. And the other thing that is also very, very important, and I've mentioned it a couple of times before, is the vest. Those luminous vests, or whatever you want to call them, those security vests. So you are visible, absolutely visible from a distance, and inshallah that will save all of us a hassle. Once again, jazakumullah khair to all the listeners out there who've called in. Alhamdulillah, you make our program interesting, you make our Friday evening interesting, alhamdulillah. Brother Adil, any parting words with now our time has run out? So
one more thing I can add to the list is maybe a liter of water that should be kept also in the boot. Very handy, can come in and take you out of a lot of trouble. And also can be used, when stopping at the restrooms for your toilet and things like that. Also can come very handy. And jazakallah to all the listeners for tuning in and giving us all the questions. Inshallah, I hope we could have assisted them, and hope we did assist them with all their car problems. And inshallah, we can continue doing it in the future.
JazakAllah, Brother Ariel. JazakAllah khairan to our engineer, Sheikh Jed. Alhamdulillah, he's done a wonderful job for us this evening. And to all our listeners out there, JazakAllah khairan. You go out there, have a wonderful holiday. If we don't speak again or if you don't hear us again for a while. JazakAllah khairan. Have a wonderful weekend. We request special to us. JazakAllah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.